Tonight I want to give you a few things, and every time I get an opportunity to preach, or God usually gives me a thought. It always happens this way. It's either before or after somebody asks me to preach, God gives me a thought, and I try to just flesh it out the best way I can. It's my goal 100% to get up here and to be as empty as I can of myself, and let God speak through me, because I'm definitely not here to waste anybody's time. Amen? And, you know, would to God that we would have that mindset to do that every single day, to be just empty vessels ready to be filled with what God has for us. But the title of my message is Some Things You Can Count On. There's some things you can count on. And, you know, in this world we live in, there's a lot of things you can count on in this world. You can count on, you know, for instance, you can count on going to Lowe's and finding somebody who has no idea what you're talking about. They're supposed to be service professionals, and you go in there and ask for something, they got all the answers, and they have no clue what you're talking about. You can count on that. You can count on putting an order in somewhere and finding out that you call back 2 days later, and they don't even know who you are. And that's what you can count on next day air. That don't mean nothing. You can count on that. Amen. You can count on putting an order in for something, and they'll tell you it'll be ready on Tuesday, and you find out that it's ready on Thursday. Amen. That's the world we live in. And there's some things you can count on. And I thank God tonight that my God is someone I can count on. I can count on tonight that if I die, I'm going right to heaven. And I can count on the fact that I know that God is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And Brother Charlie was preaching Sunday out of Hebrews, and it says, I believe it's the second chapter of Hebrews, where it says that the exceeding great promises that God had given us. You know, there's thousands of promises in the Bible that God has given to you and I. How many of them do you know tonight? And God gave those promises, and you know, all throughout my life, God has come through on every promise that I've ever been able to find in this book. Now, there's some promises that are still to come that haven't come to pass yet, but God gives promises, and you can trust God's currency. Amen. It's good. I can take that to the bank. There's some things you can count on in this world, and you know the gospel. In according to John 3:16, is 75% negative. You know, Christ died on the cross negative. He died negative. He was buried negative. And he rose the third day positive. And, you know, with that being the case, when you live for God, you better expect some bad things. And when I say bad things, it's some things you're going to have to go through for being a child of God. I was reading the Numbers, and the Bible says that God chose the Levites for a special purpose. He gave them a task that they should do. And it was their job to break down the tabernacle. It was their job. They had to carry it on their backs. The Bible says, you know, back then they had oxen, they had cart, they had means of transportation. But God said, I want to set apart these Levites for my use, and they're going to break down the tabernacle, they're going to carry it, and that it's their job to set it up. And not only that, but I'm going to set these Levites apart, and there's three or four different things I want them to be. God set these people apart. And you and I, as children of God, we're supposed to be set apart. And when you're enlisted in God's army, you might as well just count on the fact that you're going to be working, you're going to go through some things, and there's going to be some negative aspects to your Christian walk. And that's why you should immediately notice these modern-day New Age preachers. When they preach all positive, that's just a bald-faced lie. And I'm all for somebody getting encouraged, but encouragement comes from the great encourager. And there's no sense in lying to a bunch of people about them prospering and doing well when God is a God of moderation. It's not His will for you to be rich. It's His will for you to prosper in things He wants you to prosper in. And sometimes we think about blessings in our lives, and blessings are not always things that are tangible. They're not always things you can see. It's going in your day-to-day routine, and God taking you away from some accident, or God doing something in your life and working in ways you don't know, and blessings are the manifold blessings of God. And that's why we sing that song, Count Your Many Blessings, Name Them One by One. It's not all positive. And there's some things you can count on as a Christian. There's some things you can count on. And first of all, I'd like to say you can count on some trials in your life. And you're going to have trials. The definition of the word trial is examination by a test. You are going to be tested. And I know Brother Charlie said it before. If you're not going through some things, you might want to do a checkup. And you know, I'm not saying that you ought to be in a situation where you're looking for God to test you, but I'm saying that God is going to test you in your life. You've got to be put to the test. You've got to have an examination in your life, or you will not be anything for God. When manufacturers build a brand new car, they have to put a car through a trial run. And you know what? On paper it looks good, and it's passed everything, and all this stuff has come together. But unless that car has a trial run, they don't know what it's going to do. And you see, you might come to God, and you might have lip service to God, and you might have on your roster, see, Lord, I've been to church all these years, and I've been faithful. And there are some faithful people out there, and there's some good people out there. But unless you go through a trial and an examination in your life, you'll not be anything for God. And you know what? The funny thing about a test is the best way to approach a test is to study. Amen. And you and I as Christians, we need to study. If you don't know God, then how do you know when a test or a trial comes in your life? And I wonder tonight, you know, it is God's will for these trials to come and examination in your life. And you know, it is possible for you to avoid these trials. Now, you shouldn't, but if you're not in God's will, then He's not going to refine you as gold like the Bible says. You can avoid that. I know people that avoid trials. I remember as a kid, I would do whatever it took to get out of doing schoolwork. I mean, boy, the imagination, the things that I came up with to get around, and I worked so hard to get out of doing schoolwork or to get out of doing manual labor, and I had all kind of ways to do it, and they were successful. But you know the best way to get through a test, the best way to do something, if you do something right, it might take a little bit more time, but man, it's so much easier. Amen. I was talking to Tom Searcy, and he was telling me about Brother Owens, and Brother Ronnie Owens, he ran those, you know, in those coal mines, and the crew that he would run, and everybody knew that Brother Owens was a stickler for doing something right, and he was going to get it done right. And you know, there were other guys there that they would do things and they would do shortcuts and stuff. But Brother Ronnie, he said, I'm going to do something right. And he had the highest production of anybody in the coal mines, and he took no shortcuts. Now, that's a testimony. Did things right, it took longer, and he had more production than anybody else. And I promise you, if you will do things right by God, God will take a note of that thing and He'll bless you. The writers of this word were not wasting their breath when they said your cup will run over. It wasn't lying when it said it's exceeding abundantly above all that you can think or ask. And the only way that God can bless you and treat you like the son that you are or daughter before God is to put you through an examination. And you know, some tests that we go through, there's not always a clear-cut answer. You don't believe me? Just take one of Brother Vernon's tests. Amen. There's not always a clear-cut answer. You go through that thing, and God just wants, He wants to see how you're going to react. It's a test. God wants to see what you're made of. And you're thinking to yourself, can I not go through all this without having to take that examination? No, because you'd be a worthless, sorry so-and-so if you didn't have to go through a few things. That's right. You want to pass the test? You got to study. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved. Are you approved tonight? A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Do we have any Christians here tonight that are ashamed? Who are in the workplace and go out in public, they're ashamed of God. And they're not approved of God because they haven't studied and they don't have a firm foundation to rest upon when it comes down to between them, the devil, the world, the flesh, and all these things. They don't know it. They've not had to go through anything and they cannot say with any confidence that God is working in their lives. My God is not a God of waste. He's very frugal. God is a God of detail. God takes note of the things you do. Tonight, you are not getting away with anything, myself included. And you take these little chances, you do these little things, and you think you're tiptoeing around it. You're not getting away with it. And if my God is a God of detail, like I think He is, according to my Bible, then each and every single day and everything you encounter, you should look for God in those things. Every single day. Yes, every single day. Somebody called, and you think, well, today, you know, I just kind of sat around the house and didn't do anything. I guess God was busy or something. I didn't hear from him. You know, he must have just given me this day. I just took this day. You know, he's busy doing something else. He's not a wasteful God. You look at your body and how it works and all these things and how God made it. He's an efficient God. He didn't waste anything. Every day should be something done for the Lord Jesus Christ. You should be looking for Him each and every single day. I wonder tonight who would be willing to come to the Lord and say, I'm not saying come to the Lord and say, Lord, put it on me. I'm just saying, God, do to me what it's going to take for me to be approved in Your sight. Lord, I need to be in Your program. God, if I'm going to call myself a Christian, then I'm going to get in or I'm going to get out. We need some decisions tonight, people, to get in or get out. Some things you can count on. You can count on trials. You can count on, second of all, tribulation. The definition of a tribulation is affliction. It's distresses of life. It's vexation. And sometimes you're going through life and you're just going to go through tribulation. It may not always be about a test, but you can count on tribulation in your life. Turn to John chapter 16, verse 33. John chapter 16. Verse 33, some things you can count on. And here's one of them right here. And there's no clause in here to get you out of this. There's no loophole. John 16:33 says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation." Count on it. "But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Thank God He's overcome the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. It amazes me, and I'm not some spiritual giant here, but I just believe there's Christians among us that ought to be growing a lot faster than what they're growing. And some things have got to be different in our lives. And don't base your Christianity on somebody else. Be somebody for God no matter what church you're in, no matter where you're at, no matter who's doing what. You serve God. And the problem is nowadays in churches and all these things, we don't have anybody that's taking the lead among young people or young adults or anybody else for us to look at. Because in your mind, they're not doing it. And I know he doesn't read his Bible. And I'm real good buddies with him. And I know what he does. And I'm not going to do it. So none of us are going to do it. You take the initiative. You be the oddball. And I promise you, God will pay you back. And I'll tell you something, man, going through this thing with Jackson, I'm not saying this is some big trial, but going through this thing, it changed me. Not that it's been any great thing, but I realized real quick, this thing, it wasn't about my son. We pulled over, we were going down Highway 31 there the other day, and he started to have that seizure, and he's turning red, and his lips started turning blue, and he wouldn't get any breath, and we pull over on the side of the road and yank him out of there and try to breathe. I don't know what I'm doing. I ain't no doctor. I fix air conditioners, man. I'm just trying to get this boy some air. I don't know what's going on, man. Our health insurance is gone, all this crazy stuff. And suddenly, I called the next day. They had a doctor's visit. And I talked to my dad, and they're all rejoicing. They're praising God. I'm like, what is going on? He's like, man, God's working. This ain't about my son being sick. It ain't about the doctors getting money. It ain't about the health care. It's about God getting glory in my life. And I get on that phone, and, hey, Stephen, God's working. Let me tell you what God did. They're rejoicing. It's got nothing to do with me, man. It's got nothing to do. Your trials and your testing and your life is not about you having a pity party. It's bringing you closer to God and refining you. You must be refined. In the world you shall have tribulation. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 4. "Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation." Turn over to chapter 8, verse 2. Chapter 8, verse 2. 2 Corinthians. "How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." Amen. I mean, what words of encouragement to hear about somebody who's gone through this thing and to be able to talk to somebody else and say, hey, I've been there. I've been through the trials and God's put me through the tribulation. And look what happened to me. Let me tell you about it. And you know, as my dad was telling me, he said, you got to tell everybody. You got to tell everybody that look what God did for me. Look at great things that my Creator. I call myself a Christian. When I start acting like it and tell folks about the wonderful things that God is doing, He is working right now. That's right, every single day. Get up in the morning, God, give me something. I think about Jacob wrestling with that angel, and he wasn't going to let go. God, you bless me. I want it. You want it, God will give it. Amen. I was reading up on some of the stuff about the refining of gold. And we know we have the Wesleys. They sing that Come Forth as Gold. The Sound Doctrine sings that song about refining fire. And that gold purification process, you know, gold is very easily, it's very malleable. You can mold it very easily. But the refining process of gold is very expensive. They estimate that it's cost about $800 to refine 10 ounces of gold. And you see, it's not just all about the gold, it's all the other alloys and all the other metals that's in gold. Tonight, we've got dross in our lives. God made you and I perfect. It's all the other things in our lives that are bringing us down and holding us back and keeping us from the Lord Jesus Christ and that refinement. And if you keep all that gold and all those impurities and you set it by itself, it's worth half the amount as it would be if you'd refined it. It's got to be refined. There's that. They got most gold, they say, has got 10% silver. And that silver is extremely hard to get out. Some gold contains 20% silver. And you can't refine that silver out of the gold in the same process. It's very expensive. And it costs a lot. When you get things in your life that God has to bring out, and if you don't go through the trials and you don't go through the testings, then you'll be half as good as you were. You'll be half the worth that God intended for you if you don't go through that refiner's fire. You can count on trials. You can count on tribulations. Go through it. Go through it. Don't push away from God. Amen. Don't run from it. Don't look for a bailout. Amen. I remember when we had this financial crisis and everybody's looking for a bailout. GM's looking for a bailout. Ford was the only one that didn't get a bailout. Everybody wants to, oh, I got trouble there. Somebody help me. Somebody's got to help me. That's all I know. Somebody's got to help me. You don't want to go through nothing. And I remember when I was at PBI and I called my dad, I said, Dad, I'm gonna put it on. I'm not going to ask him for help, but I'm just going to put him in a position, a fatherly position. I know he's going to help me out. Dad, look, I'm in a tight spot and I'm doing right. I'm down here at Bible college. I mean, I'm just letting you know that. Well, son, Lord bless you. And you talk to God, tell me what He says. We'll see you later. What? Okay, some dad he is. You don't need a bailout.
Amen.
Don't try to get out of what God has for you.
Amen.
Stop trying to kick against the pricks, as the Bible says. Go through it. Just go through it, take it, and come out on the other side pure as gold, as the Bible says. The Bible says in Job chapter 23, verse 10, "But He knoweth the way that I take. When He hath tried me, praise the Lord, I shall come forth as gold."
Amen.
And this is something else. You know, the Bible says, turn to Romans chapter 5. My God is an amazing God. When He puts you through something, He's going to give you... I tell you, God says, here's your test. This is what you're going to have to go through right here. And here's the answers. Oh, Lord, look at this test. No, wait, hang on a second. Here's your answers and here's your test. Lord, look at this test, Lord. It's all. I don't want to go through it. He gives you what you need to go through this thing. You just don't want any part of it. The whole time you're focused on this, you need to stop and say, wait a minute. Something's happening here. I know what the Bible says, Romans 8:28. So I need to stop, be still, and know that He is God. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Okay, tribulation worketh patience. Romans chapter 12, verse 12. Tribulation worketh patience. Romans chapter 12, verse 12 says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. So tribulation works patience, and we're supposed to have patience in tribulation. God's solving your problem when you're already right in the middle of it. Amen? He's done it for me time and time again. And folks, their problem And their trial, their tribulation may not be yours. You may not be able to handle what they handle, but it's what you're supposed to go through. And you know, the Bible talks about trial. There's trials. There's easy ones that you go up to and you pass them with flying colors. It's still a trial. But the Bible talks about fiery trials. Those tests that are they're tough and they are hard, but you've got to go through it. You've got to go through it. And He'll give you that patience. And you learn and you grow. The Bible talks about as babes desiring the sincere milk of the Word. And we've got a bunch of babes today who've not been through anything. They still can't walk. And they don't know what the Bible says. And they don't have the shield of faith and the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation. They don't have none of this stuff. They've never been through anything. And they have no idea what to do. And you know what they do? They go through something and they get on the horn of Mom and Daddy. Or Aunt Sue. Oh, I just don't understand why you got to go through this and you got to... No. You need to get off Mom and Daddy. Or whoever you're crying to. God puts you this to make you a better person, to give God glory. Get out of that stuff.
Amen.
The last thing, trials, tribulation, and something else you can count on, chastisement. Turn to Bibles in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. You know, chastisement ain't quite as glorious as going through a trial. Because you know what it means? It means you're wrong and you're getting punished for it. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. For whom the Lord loveth, does He love us tonight? He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? I believe tonight, and I'm not saying this is the situation for everybody that's left our church, but there's been people that left our church that despise the chastisement of God, and they blame somebody else. God puts them through something, they point fingers. It's your fault I had to go through this, and now I'm mad at you because of something that God did to me. The first thing you need to do, if God chastises you, take inventory. Jonathan Edwards preached that message of sinners in the hands of an angry God. Man, I tell you what, I'd much rather be in the hands of an angry God than a happy devil. Amen? Being in the palm of God's hand is the best place you can be. Because even though He chastises you and He might whip you a little while, boy, I'm telling you what, afterwards, there's nothing but... It's just a big hug from God, man, I'm telling you. And He'll wrap you up in His arms and say, hey, child, it's all right. I think about that prodigal son, all that stuff he did. He spit in his father's face and said, forget you, give me what's mine, I'm gone. And he came back, and you know what he found? He found love. Amazing love. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11. A chastisement. Endure it. You've got to take inventory of your life. You've got to stop and you've got to say, Lord, what's going on? And He's faithful. He'll show you what's going on. Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 11, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father of the son in whom He delighteth. You know, sometimes when God chastises us, we know exactly what it's for. When my mom and dad whipped me, there was never any question of whether I was guilty. I was blamed for some stuff sometimes I didn't do, and I tried to get that off, but I knew at the end I was guilty for something. I deserve every whip. I know that. So, and you know what God's doing. You know why He's punishing you. But you know it's the comfort of knowing that when God's chastising you, when He's having to whip you, you know it's because He loves you. You know He loves you. You know He's doing it because He loves you. I'll close with this. In a trial court, there are times when the counselor of the court and the client are viewed by the law to be the same person. They come before the judge there, and two are made one by law. That counsel represents that client in every single way, and they are one entity. You can't talk to one without the other. They come before that court, and they plead their case. Well, friend, I'm here to tell you, when you have the trial of life, the big counselor, he comes down to the child of God, and he faces that trial, and he makes it to where the counselor and that child are one. There's no battle that you're facing alone. There's nothing that God's going to put you through that He doesn't have the ability to help you get through it. And the end result, whether it be trial, tribulation, chastisement, is for your betterment and God's glory. Don't steal glory from God. Give in to the Lord.